Welcome back to Clowncast, the show where we look at ordinary things like they're magic, find out they're not, and then discover that honestly, they kind of are.
And today we're on episode 4 of the Computer Build series, which means we are now deep enough in that I've stopped pretending I understood episode 1.
You understood episode 1 fine.
I understood the vibe of episode 1.
Good enough. So today's episode is the one I've been dreading a little, because it's the most confusing area in the entire build. And it's confusing for a stupid reason. Three completely different things all get called memory.
Oh no!
Three, and only one of them actually decides what this machine can do.
Okay, so is this like when chips means three different foods depending on what country you're standing in?
It's exactly like that, except the stakes are a couple $1,000s.
Great, love that.
So let's do the split first. And I want to go back to the kitchen we set up in episode 2. Because it still works.
The kitchen's back.
The kitchen's back. So, storage is the pantry. It's where things sit when nobody's cooking. It survives you turning the lights off and going home. It's big. It's slow. You have to go get things out of it. Ours is 1 terabyte.
Right, pantry. Big, slow, cold, has a jar of something from 4 years ago.
Every pantry does. Then our aim is the prep counter. That's what's actively out and being worked on right now. Turn the power off, and the counter is just wiped. Everything on it is gone.
Which is horrifying if you think about it as a kitchen.
It really is. And ours is 32 gigabytes of counter.
Okay, and the third one?
The third one is VRAM. And VRAM is the graphics card's own private counter. It's not shared with the rest of the kitchen. It's soldered onto the card itself. Ours is 24 gigabytes.
Its own private counter. So the graphics card is the line cook who won't let anybody else touch their station.
The graphics card is that line cook. And here's the part that matters. You can add storage. You want a bigger pantry. By a bigger pantry, you can usually add RAM. With a catch I'll get to. Because there's a really annoying catch.
There always is.
That you cannot add RAM. Ever. Not with a screwdriver. Not with money. Not later when you're richer. It ships with a card, and that is the number for the entire life of that machine.
Wait, that's it. That's a wall.
That's a wall. And that's actually the whole episode, in a way. Everything else today is me showing you what a wall like that does to the thing you're building.
Okay, so I want to sit in that for a second, because you can't upgrade it is a weirdly rare thing for a computer part.
It is rare, and it makes VRAM behave less like a computer component and more like something out of shipping.
Shipping.
So, you know the marks painted on the side of a cargo ship's hull? Little circle with a horizontal line through it, and then a sort of ladder of lines next to it.
I have absolutely seen those and never once wondered what they were.
That's the plimsoll line. It's a lobe line. It's painted on the hull and it tells you exactly how deep that ship is legally allowed to sit in the water. You load cargo. The ship settles lower. When the water reaches that mark, you are done. Not getting close. Done.
And who decided where the line goes?
So the mark is named for Samuel Plimsoll, who was a British MP in the 1800s and who pushed to make load lines mandatory. And the reason he pushed is grim. Ship owners were overloading vessels. The ships were foundering, and the crews were drowning. Owners had insurance, crews had nothing.
Oh, so the line isn't a performance guideline. It's a body count that got turned into paint.
That's exactly what it is. And that's why it's the right shape for VRAM, for two reasons. One, it's an external hard limit. The ship doesn't get a vote. The captain doesn't get a vote. The physics doesn't care about your schedule.
And two.
Two. And this is the part people skip. The specific number is the entire point. A load line that just said don't overload would be useless. The whole value is that it's a precise mark, in a precise place, and everyone can look at it.
Right, be careful, says nobody.
And the failure mode matches too. Load a ship past her line, and she isn't a bit slower. She founders. Push a model past your VRAM, and it doesn't run at 80% speed. It fails. Or it falls back to something so much slower it might as well have failed.
Okay, so 24 gigabytes is our line. Where'd 24 come from? Is that a that's what was on sale number, or we did math number?
It's both, and that's genuinely the honest answer. But there's real math, and this is where the series whole thing, every number gets a reference point, actually pays off.
Hit me.
So, the model this machine is built to run, depending on how hard you compress it, it takes up either 18.42 gigabytes or 19.48 gigabytes if you use a slightly better compression setting.
Slightly better meaning higher quality.
Higher quality, bigger file. So call it roughly 19 and a half at the good setting. Against 24.
That sounds fine. That sounds like 4.5 gigs of breathing room. I would have signed off on that.
Everybody would have signed off on that. And here is the thing everybody misses. And it's the thing that makes this episode worth doing.
Go on.
The model isn't the only thing that has to fit.
What else is there? It's the model. It's the whole thing.
The conversation lives in there too. When you're actually talking to this thing, the working memory for the current exchange, it's called the KV cache, that sits in VRAM alongside the model, and that runs roughly 2 to 4 gigabytes depending on how long the conversation goes.
Oh, that's okay, so it grows.
As you talk.
As you talk, the longer the exchange, the more of it there is.
So it's not does the model fit.
It's does the model fit plus however much talking I plan to do.
Right, plus about 0.8 gigabytes of compute buffers, which, I want to flag, the source marks that one as an estimate. That's not a measured number. That's a best guess written down as a best guess.
Appreciate it. Okay, so add it up for me.
At the bigger model size, the 19.48, you land around 22.3 gigabytes used, out of roughly 23.6 that are actually usable.
Wait, 23.6? I thought we had 24.
Yeah. You never get the whole card. Some of it's spoken for.
Of course. 23.6. So 22.3 used, that leaves.
About 1.3 gigabytes.
1.3.
1.3 gigabytes of spare. And that is the entire budget for absolutely everything else the system might want to do.
That is so much tighter than 4.5 gigs of headroom.
And this is why I wanted the ship. Because the number that mattered wasn't the size of the cargo. It was the size of the cargo plus the fuel plus the crew plus the water, measured against a painted line that doesn't negotiate.
Okay, but here's my dumb question.
Does it actually matter? Like 1.3 gigs spare, is that a problem, or is that just an uncomfortable spreadsheet?
Great question. And no, it's already a real problem, and you can see it in the design.
Show me.
There's a component in the system called a rear anchor. It's a small model whose job is to take search results and improve their ordering. Make the good stuff come up first. Small, useful, wants to run on the graphics card because that's where things are fast.
And it doesn't.
It runs on the CPU instead, because there is no VRAM left for it.
Because of the 1.3.
Because of the 1.3. And here's the counterfactual that makes it sting. Smaller main model, something around 17 gigabytes. Would leave roughly 4 gigabytes spare, and the re-ranker moves onto the card.
So the choice of main model exiled an entire other component to the slow lane.
That's it exactly. And I want to be really clear that that's not a preference. That's not we thought it'd be tidier this way. That is the wall deciding the architecture. The limit reached into the design and moved a piece.
Okay, that's the thing that made it click for me. It's not a spreadsheet, it's the constraint has fingerprints on the blueprint.
And there's a second workload that sets a floor here, separately. There's an image segmentation job that peaks at 13.5 gigabytes.
Segmentation being cutting up an image into parts.
Identifying regions in an image, yeah. And right now that runs on rented 16 gigabyte cards, at 93% utilization, with about a gigabyte to spare.
93%. So that's already running with its hole right at the paint.
Right at the paint. Which is fine until it isn't.
Can I try one? Because you said something earlier that reminded me of something, and I want to see if it holds.
Please.
When you said the model plus the conversation both come out of one number, that's weight and balance in a small plane, isn't it?
Say more.
So, small aircraft, you don't just get in and go. Before every flight you compute weight and balance. Aircraft empty weight, plus fuel, plus passengers, plus whatever's in the baggage compartment. And you check it against the limit.
And the answer changes what you're allowed to bring.
And it changes per flight.
It changes per flight. That's the part.
It's not this plane holds 4 people.
It's this plane holds 4 people today, given this fuel load, given where you put the bags. Sometimes the answer is you take 3 people or you take less fuel. You pick.
And you're mapping that onto.
The model is the aircraft. The conversation is the passengers. And they both come out of the same number. So a heavier aircraft means fewer passengers. A bigger model means a shorter conversation.
That's a better version of what I was trying to say, honestly, because it also gets at the thing where you can't fix it after takeoff.
Right, nobody stepping out at altitude.
And the balance part isn't decorative either. It's not just total weight. It's where the weight sits. Sam here. It's not just how many gigabytes, it's which component sits where, on the card or off it.
Okay, so with all that established, this thing is tight, 1.3 gig spare, a component got exiled. Why not just buy more of everything? Like, isn't the answer just spend more?
So this is my favorite part of the whole build, and it's a decision not to buy something. The plan very nearly bought 64 gigabytes of RAM, the prep counter, not the graphics card, instead of 32, as insurance, just in case a future need showed up.
Which sounds responsible. That sounds like the mature adult decision.
It sounds extremely responsible, and two things killed it. First one is the fun one. There's no bulk discount.
What do you mean? There's no bulk discount? There's always a bulk discount. That's how buying things works.
Not here. 32 gigabytes ran about $11.70 to $14 per gigabyte. 64 ran $12.40 to $14.50 per gigabyte.
Hang on. The bigger one is worse per gigabyte.
Marginally worse per gigabyte. And I want to be careful here. Those are the prices this specific build was quoted, in US dollars. I don't know what those numbers look like anywhere else, and I'm not going to pretend I do.
Fair, but still, that breaks the entire logic of buying ahead.
It breaks it completely. There's a memory shortage on, and the shortage ate the volume discount, so the whole buy doubled now. Beat next year's prices argument has no arbitrage underneath it. There's nothing to capture.
So what would the hedge have cost?
Roughly $420 to $475. For nothing.
For nothing, nothing.
Well, that's the second thing that killed it. The one actual argument for 64 gigabytes was that you'd want it if you were running a very large model partly on the CPU. That's the scenario where the prep counter has to be enormous.
And that scenario?
Once the actual application got written down, what this machine is genuinely for, it turned out that was never going to be needed. The argument closed.
Oh.
And I want to say the lesson out loud carefully, because it's not we saved money.
It kind of feels like we saved money.
It's the order of operations. The requirement got defined, and then the purchase answered it. That order, if you reverse those two, if you buy first and figure out what you need it after, you end up buying insurance against a thing that was never going to happen, at a premium, during a shortage.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's three separate ways to lose stacked on top of each other.
All three at once, and the shortage is what makes it expensive rather than merely silly.
Okay, but you said there's a catch on the RAM. You promised me an annoying catch.
There is one recorded catch, and it's genuinely annoying. The motherboard has four memory slots.
Four slots.
So you buy two now, two later.
That's the plan, right? That's the obvious plan.
That's the plan everybody has. And with this memory type, four sticks frequently won't run at their rated speed.
They just don't.
Filling all four slots often means the whole set runs slower than what you paid for.
So the four slots are a lie.
The four slots are, let's say the four slots are optimistic. What it means practically is that expanding later realistically means replacing the kit, not adding to it. You buy new memory, and the old memory becomes a paperweight.
So the upgrade path is worse than the slot count implies.
That's the phrase from the notes. Yeah, worse than the slot count implies.
Which is a really good thing to know before you tell yourself, eh? I'll just add more later.
That's exactly the value of writing it down. It's not that the decision changes. 32 is still right. It's that you don't get to comfort yourself with a fake escape hatch.
Okay,
pantry. We haven't done the pantry. Is storage also secretly a nightmare?
Storage is the easy one. Storage is genuinely the easy one.
Oh, thank God.
So somebody went and actually measured the footprint of everything Joey currently has. All of it. And the total came out around 85 gigabytes.
85? That's nothing. That's a phone.
Yeah, and still 1 terabyte drive. And it gets funnier. The 65 gigabytes that are project files specifically, 24 gigabytes of that is regenerable.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning it's dependency folders and virtual environments. Stuff that a single command rebuilds from scratch. It's not data, it's scaffolding that happens to be sitting on the disk.
So it's not files, it's the pile of packaging around the files.
And the irreducible core. the stuff that would genuinely hurt to lose, is around 34 gigabytes.
34 out of 85.
And here is the stat that made me laugh. 89% of the files are dependency bloat.
89% of the files.
By count, 9 out of 10 files on the disk are packaging.
That's such a strange fact about modern software. The pantry is 90% boxes.
And even if you add a library of large model files, which run roughly 20 gigabytes each, 1 terabyte is still far more than enough. It's not close.
So no 2 terabyte drive.
No 2 terabyte drive, and the roughly $100 saved by not buying one helps fund the backup drive instead. Though I should say, the source notes that particular math got tighter, because both of those prices roughly doubled.
The shortage again.
The shortage again, which means the reasoning survives. A terabyte is still plenty. Backup still matters more than capacity. But the tidy little and the savings pay for the backup line is doing less work than it used to.
I like that you kept it in anyway instead of pretending the number still lands.
The number not landing is more interesting than the number landing.
Okay, so what don't we know? Because you've got that face.
I have several. Let's do them. Because honestly, these are the good part.
Go.
First one, how long a conversation can this machine actually hold? And that's partly answered and partly wide open. The rough figure is somewhere around 8,000 to 16,000 tokens at the standard setting.
Tokens being roughly chunks of words.
Roughly. And 16,000 needs a compressed cache to fit. 32,000 would require going to a smaller model file entirely.
So the aircraft thing again. More passengers, lighter plane.
Exactly that, but, and this is why it's in the unknown pile, the source explicitly says that it needs empirical testing. That's not a published figure somebody can look up. Somebody has to build it and run it and see.
Okay, second.
Second is the one that actually keeps me up. There's a 2 to 5 gigabyte swing that nobody has resolved, and the source flags it as load-bearing.
Load-bearing meaning if it goes the wrong way, the whole thing wobbles.
Right. The question is whether the inference software, the program that actually runs the model, implements a particular memory-saving technique for the specific model architecture, and nobody's checked.
Nobody's checked, or nobody knows.
It's marked and verified, so, asserted, not confirmed, somebody would have to go look.
And what turns on it?
If it does implement it, cache usage at long context drops from about 8 gigabytes to about 2.75 gigabytes, and suddenly everything is comfortable. Dev room. The ranker maybe comes home.
And if it doesn't?
Then it's tight. The way it currently looks.
That's a huge swing to just be sitting there unresolved.
It's enormous. And the project's stated plan is to assume the pessimistic case.
Which is, I mean, that's the right call, right?
Plan for the bad version.
It's the right call and it costs you something real. If you design for the pessimistic case and the optimistic case turns out to be true, you built a more constrained machine than you needed to. That's the price of not knowing.
Right, you paid an insurance premium in architecture instead of dollars.
Wow, yeah, that's it.
Okay, third thing.
Third is the biggest one and it undercuts everything I just said. We don't actually know whether the chosen model is the right model at all.
Wait, the model that all this math is built around.
That decision was opened for review the same day it was made.
The same day?
The same day. And episode 6 is where that gets picked apart.
So every number you gave me today
sits on a foundation that's currently under review. Yeah.
I feel like I should be more annoyed about that than I am.
I think it's the most honest thing in the notes, personally, and credit where it's due. All of today's numbers come from two documents in the computer build repo, the RAM budget table, the KV cache math, and the ranker on CPU decision come from the workload map, section E, the 32 versus 64 call, the per gigabyte pricing, and the 4DEM caveat come from the decision log, entry DE9, terabyte sizing, and the open question about context length are D6 and P3. The measured storage footprint is section D of the workload map. That's a person writing down their own reasoning, including the parts where they're unsure. So here's the closing thought, and I want to say it straight, without dressing it up.
Yo.
24 gigabytes is not a comfortable number for this job. It's the number that was affordable. Those are different things and it's worth not blurring them.
And the design already shows it.
The design already bends around it in at least one visible place. An entire component exiled to the slower processor because there was no room on the card. and we won't know how tight it really is until the machine exists and somebody measures it.
Which is the plimsoll thing one more time, isn't it?
You can't argue with the line.
You can only load the ship and see where the water sits.
And nobody's loaded it yet.
So next time, what do we find out?
Not yet. Next time I want to do the thing that nobody puts on the spec sheet. Which is that all of this draws power and all of that power turns into heat. And heat is its own hard limit with its own ugly math. A part that gets too hot doesn't fail. It just quietly slows down until it isn't hot anymore.
Wait, if it lies to you.
It absolutely lies to you.
Okay, that's the whole episode. Don't say anything else.
I'll say that this has been Clowncast. We still don't know if the cash trick is in there. We still don't know how long a conversation this thing can hold. And we still don't know if it's even the right model.
Three unknowns and a boat.
See you next time.